Galen watched the men guarding one entrance to the Chamber of Nine. There were at least six entrances, he knew, but this one was the most direct. Three of the men were simple bashers, just muscle to stop passers-by from entering the wrong alley. Men good in a brawl.
"Will you serve me in this?"
Galen pulled the shadows around himself and crawled, clinging to a thatch roof, keeping a low profile.
"She's not a good woman. You must know that."
Three archers squinted against the downpour, doing their best to protect their bowstrings under their cloaks.
"No, but she's the least bad."
Two spotters stood on balconies, one studying the street, the other looking over the roofs.
"Giving power to the bad to fight the evil. A devil's argument."
Galen reached the edge of the building. Two more bashers were right underneath him.
"I am a devil."
"It was to you Jocin Alcestis administered the oath of Sakage, Echelus. You could lead the Sakage yourself."
"Leadership is best left to the idealistic and the arrogant."
It would be best if he could get in without killing anyone, but he couldn't do that alone. Not without the Kakari's help.
"Very well, Achilles. I shall serve."
Galen felt the Kakari form in his hand. He squeezed it, and it sheathed his entire body. He dropped into the alley. He wasn't quite invisible, not in the rain that hit his body and gave a weird distortion to the air. But the alley was narrow. The rain came in gusts and fits as the wind blasted it periodically into the cold, damp space between the rickety buildings. One blast threw a torrent as he walked between a torch-carrying basher and the wall.
"Eric, you see something over there?"
the basher said to another.
"Nah, want to check it out?"
The basher swallowed, but went toward what he'd seen. Galen was already past them. He came to the door. Rubbish was piled high in front of it to disguise what it was, but the door opened in, so the rubbish was no problem. Galen wrapped sound-dampening magic on the hinges and looked once more at all the men guarding it. When no one was looking, he opened the door and slipped inside. Inside, there was nothing but a short hall, a false wall that lay open, and a stone ladder beyond it. Galen got on the ladder and began sliding down. He was almost all the way down when someone carrying a torch stepped into the stone tube and began climbing. Whoever he was nimble as a monkey, climbing fast for a man with only one hand on the ladder. Galen stuck one foot against the wall, then hopped, stuck the other foot to the other wall, pushed his hands against opposite walls and flattened himself against the back of the tube. Being invisible wasn't much help if someone actually bumped into you. The climber paused just below Galen, switched which hand was carrying the torch. It brought the flaming brand within inches of Galen's face. But the Kakari, true to its word, true to its nature, devoured the light, devoured the heat, turning it into its own magic, making Galen feel even stronger. The climber continued on, and Galen slid to the bottom of the narrow tube and stepped out, invisible, into the Chamber of Nine. The Nine's subterranean chamber was a horror and a wonder, a relic of a bygone age. It was circular, but with a ceiling so high it disappeared in darkness, giving the impression that a person inside was at the bottom of an inescapably deep pit. The floors, the walls, even the stone desks and chairs were carved with every kind of loathsome animal, rats and snakes and hydras and spiders and twisted dogs and skeletons, all glittering obsidian, sharp cutting angles. The numerous entrances were well hidden. A crescent-shaped dais held the benches for the Nine, and over them, the Shinga's throne. The only illumination came from an oil-filled ridge set in the wall behind the Nine, casting all of them in shadow. But their hoods were back now. Some had shed their cloaks completely, like Guinevere. Guinevere's beauty was sword and armor both. Scarred Rabel had told Galen,
"You never get to see the whole drama. When you're a wet boy, you only come in at the end."
The fact is,
a tall, fat man was saying,
I think we need to beware of this young Gaia lord, Regnus. I don't think we can control him.
A muscular man with lots of scars and a flattened nose, he had to be Pond Raiden, head of the Bashers, said,
I say we continue to support Bran Wesserus if...
He's too martial. The Gunders...
are morons, the tall fat man said. Every last one of them.
Where is Scar Rabel? I thought he was supposed to report by now,
a hawkish little man said.
Enough, the Shinger announced, standing. I've decided.
Then his head fell off. The Kakari made a very sharp blade. The Shinger's head hit the table in front of him and rolled off. His body collapsed a moment later. Nine pairs of eyes widened. For an instant, everyone was speechless. Then the room was plunged into darkness. Galen flipped into the center of the chamber. Some of the men shouted, but the room was warded against eavesdropping. Six recovered enough to pull alarum ropes, each of which had been cut. Opening the oil channel full, Galen waited until the oil circled the entire chamber, then ignited it with a spark. Light flooded the room, astounding in its suddenness. He stood in the middle of the chamber, Kakari coating him in a skin, his arms folded, head down. He opened his eyes, lifted his head, shrugged the cloak off his shoulders. The Night Angel was a vision of judgment. Big, frowning, narrowed eyes, blank face, mouth a slit, skin slick, utterly alien, without compassion. The darkness seemed to ripple about him as if he were a fire with dark flames. The men of the Nine had reacted to their terror and surprise differently. One was hiding beneath his table, barely peering out. Pond Raiden, the Basher, was ready to fight, meaty hands folded into fists. Count Drake was seated, pensive, hands tented. Guinevere's eyes blazed, furious.
I, Galen said, am Sakoge. It is time for a change in leadership. Any questions?
Galen strode to Guinevere. She expected him to kill her, become Shinger himself. He could see it in her face, her brave, haughty, furious face.
Guinevere Kyrena, he said. Shinger Kyrena.
He bowed before her. A moment later, recovering first, Count Drake bowed low in obeisance before her. Pond Raiden moved forward, saying,
Over my dead.
Galen crossed the distance between them in a blink and punched Pond's fist so hard it shattered all the bones in the big man's hand.
No,
Guinevere said, as the man sank back, holding his ruined fist. She was recovering already, mentally nimble as a cat. Not over your dead body, Pond Raiden. Your services are required. A pair of stricken bashers carried the old Shinger's body out of the chamber. A third carried his head. All looked very nervous about the figure standing cloaked in the middle of the room. They left as quietly as they could and shut the door behind themselves, leaving the figure alone. Guinevere pulled back her hood.
Where the fuck are you?
She demanded. Galen shimmered back into visibility. It was just the two of them.
You asshole, she said. I didn't need you to hand me the Shadow Throne. In one more day, the last piece of my plan.
I didn't do it for you, Galen said.
What?
She snarled.
I needed you to know I'm not a threat to you.
So you do it by beheading my predecessor. Pretty fucking clever way to be unthreatening, Guinevere said.
Galen let the storm rage right past him, cool.
I don't want to be Shinger. I could have taken it just now. You know it, and I needed you to know that I know it too. This working for you, suits me. I want to stay, and you're the greatest danger to me. Now you know I'm a tool for you. But not a threat to you. You don't have anything I want.
Her eyes were hard. Then she flashed a sudden smile. I wouldn't say that, she said. He cocked an eyebrow. Of course, he still wanted her body, but it seemed beneath her to mention it now. Too obvious for the subtle Guinevere Kyrena.
I found him, Galen. I found out where the man who killed your family is hiding.